Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here's your host, Adam Pfeiffer.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back. FTN DataCast here. The read option for week 13 already. Week 13 kicked off on Thursday with a fun matchup between Dallas and Seattle. A lot of fantasy points were scored. A lot. Unless you had Tyler Lockett, pretty much. But if you are new, this is the weekly read option edition of the DataCast, which pretty much goes hand in hand with my read option article, which is live at FTNFantasy.com every single week, where I break down every single game from the slate with a ton of in-depth analysis. And this podcast can help you if you are, you know, if you prefer to consume content via podcast, via audio. But I feel like with how in-depth the article is, you pair this, you pair the article, you are really in good shape for week 13 here. I mean, we are close to the fantasy playoffs, so wins are more important than they have been all year. This is a massive, massive week. And six teams on bye doesn't help. I mean, Buffalo's on bye. Tons of teams on bye. Chicago, Baltimore. So there's teams that are starting players that they weren't planning on starting, but that's why the read option is important, because it details players that you wouldn't even normally be considering. So let's get right to it, starting with the Chargers and Patriots. Pretty gross game here. Keenan Allen, though, missing practice back-to-back days. Obviously, we're recording this relatively early Friday afternoon, so we won't have the practice report. As long as Allen is back in some limited capacity or in any capacity, I would expect him to play. Obviously, if he plays, you're starting him. Keenan Allen this season, just been insane. He has a target share of at least 25% in all but one game this season, and he has at least a 30% target share in like seven games. 31.3% target share against man coverage. We know the Patriots play a ton of man coverage. He's obviously going to be the focal point of this passing game because they really have, you know, nothing else right now. And that's kind of limited Justin Herbert's ceiling. Tough matchup last week against Baltimore. This matchup's not amazing. It's definitely a little bit more friendly, but right now, I mean, with the way this offense looks with only Keenan Allen in the passing game, I'm still starting Justin Herbert, but I'm not expecting like top five, six production really, unless he kind of does what he did last week. And like, again, he wasn't a top six quarterback, but he ran for like 70 yards last week, but I also wouldn't expect that. So things have also been pretty frustrating for Austin Eckler. Back-to-back weeks where he finished as the running back 31 and 35 in fantasy. He has more fumbles and touchdowns in that span. This team just can't run the football. It's like second straight season where they can't run the football. 5.3% of Eckler's rushing attempts this season have gained 10-plus yards outside the top 30 running backs. He also just doesn't look 100% healthy. And now he's facing the Patriots, who are allowing the fewest rushing yards after first contact in the NFL. And just 6.5% of the runs against the Patriots have gained 10-plus yards, the lowest rate in the league. Not benching Austin Eckler, and you would think with nobody else in the passing game outside of Keenan Allen that he would get 6, 7, maybe even 8 targets. So, but I'm kind of like Herbert. I'm tempering expectations for him as well. For the Patriots, unless DeMario Douglas somehow plays, it's really only Ramondre Stevenson from this team. Last three games, he's been what we kind of hoped for from Ramondre Stevenson to start the season. Since week 9, he's averaging 20.6 touches, 112.6 scrimmage yards per game. He's played 69% of the snaps and 100% of the snaps in the two-minute drill during that span with a 15% target share. The usage in the passing game has been strong. He has at least 4 targets in 6 straight games. And now he faces the Chargers, who are allowing the second most receptions, second most targets, and third most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. So definitely keep starting Ramondre Stevenson. Lions at Saints up next. Let's start with the Lions. They are the easier team of the two. Jared Goff had a pretty bad real-life game last Thanksgiving, but he got there off a couple two-point conversions, off volume, ultimately finished with 332 yards, 2 touchdowns, did lose 3 fumbles, but you know, we know Goff has been better at home than on the road since the start of last season, averaging about 4 more fantasy points per game in Detroit. The Saints, though, like, yes, they're allowing the second lowest completion rate in the NFL, 4th fewest yards per pass attempt. They're also really banged up on defense right now, so that's something to keep an eye on. If this were a normal week where we had more teams available. Goff would be like a high-end quarterback, decent quarterback too. But given the state of the week, Goff is my quarterback 12 for Sunday. Continue to start both lines running backs. Since week 10, when David Montgomery returned to the lineup, he's played about 35% of the snaps, handled 50% of the rushing attempts, and he's averaging 13.6 touches per game. Though his usage in the passing game has come way down. During that span, he's playing 21% of the snaps on long down and distances, and just 11% in the two-minute drill. During that same span, Gibbs has played 62% of the snaps, 71% in long down and distances, and 54% of the two-minute drill, averaging 15.3 touches during that span. But again, the Lions are running the ball so much, especially in the red zone, 60.5% of the time in the red zone over the last 3 weeks. That's a top 9 rate in the NFL. And the Saints' run defense has not been what we've kind of been accustomed to seeing. Bijan Robinson just got 100 scrimmage yards, or over 100 scrimmage yards, and 2 touchdowns against him last week. And over the course of the season, 14.1% of the runs against the Saints have gained 10-plus yards. It's the 4th highest rate in football. And then you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown has 100 yards or a touchdown in all but one game this season. And that one game was last week. And last week, he had 95 yards. So it just shows the insane floor-ceiling combination that we've seen from St. Brown all season long. He's amazing. And Sam Laporta bounced back last week, too. 47 yards, a touchdown, a two-point conversion. 8 targets were easily the most he's seen in a game where we've had both running backs and Jameson Williams healthy. But you're starting him. Saints have also allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends this season, tied for the most in football. Speaking of the Saints, you're starting Alvin Kamara, and the rest is kind of up in the air right now, right? Michael Thomas, he's still out. Rashid Shaheed's probably not going to play. Chris Olave's been limited in practice, but still in the concussion protocol upon this recording. Obviously, if Olave plays, you're starting him. He's a top 10 receiver. He was going crazy last week. 114 yards, 7 catches, pretty much at halftime. Left early in the third quarter. 25% target share, 41% target per route run rate before leaving. Lions secondary has been terrible. So you're obviously starting him if he plays. If he's out and Rashid Shaheed's out, like, then you're left with A.T. Perry, who becomes interesting in deep leagues. He's run around on 89 and 80% of dropbacks the last two games. But really, it comes down to the tight ends for me if Olave's out. And even if Olave plays, right? Juwan Johnson last week, he ran around on 85% of dropbacks, a season high. 19% target share was also a season high. So that's great. Taysom Hill only ran 12 routes. There's room for improvement, especially if Olave and Shaheed are both out. I think you can make the argument if they're without Olave that both Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill, by the way, averaging, I think it's 9 touches per game over the last like 6 weeks. You can make the case both tight ends are top 10 tight ends, given the state of this offense right now, given the matchup and everything like that. I would probably avoid Derek Carr if Olave's out. If Olave plays, I think Carr is a fine streaming quarterback in this favorable matchup. Atlanta at the New York Jets up next. Pretty simple game here. Bijan, following the bye, I thought we might see like the uptick in snaps and touches. It didn't really happen. Bijan still played like 60% of the snaps, but he did get more usage in the passing game, which I expected. I wrote about it last week. I expected with Desmond Ridder at quarterback, we would see more usage in the passing game from the running backs. And that happened. Robinson, 6 targets, caught 3 for 32 and a touchdown. He's now averaging 5 targets per game alongside Ridder this season. And Atlanta's starting quarterback is targeting the running back position about 25% of the time on the season. You add that to the fact that the Jets are allowing the 6th most receptions, 3rd most targets, and 6th most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. That's a good spot for Bijan. Plus the fact that 43.3% of the yardage against the Jets has come via the run. That's the highest rate in the NFL. So expect Bijan Robinson to once again be the focal point of this Atlanta offense. Drake London, solid game last week, 91 yards on 5 catches. Still remains like a really risky wide receiver 3, especially against the Jets, right? They've only allowed 3 touchdowns to wide receivers all year. One was to Stephon Diggs, one was to Tyreek Hill last week. Either way, where London lines up, you're going to see Sauce, you're going to see DJ Reed. So I don't love him. And then brutal game. Again, Atlanta only threw the ball like 21 times last week, but 2 catches for Kyle Pitts, 0 for Jonnu Smith. On the season, Atlanta's still targeting running backs, or tight ends rather, 34% of the time, highest rate in the NFL. And the middle of the field is definitely the best avenue for success against the Jets, so wouldn't be surprised if Pitts and Jonnu kind of bounce back here. Jets, they remain simple. It's only Breece Hall and it's only Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall failed to reach 50 rushing yards in 5 of his last 6 games. He's averaging 30.3 rushing yards per game during that span. He somewhat made up for it with usage in the passing game, averaging 5 receptions, 6 targets, and 43.5 receiving yards per game since week 6. Just, you don't love the efficiency, especially with this offense. You don't love the scoring opportunities, but with 6 teams on bye, it's pretty tough to bench a running back that's going to get 17 to 20 touches. And then Garrett Wilson scored last week with Tim Boyle at quarterback. Still saw 10 targets, 30% target share, 45% of the team's air yards this season. And he has 43% of the team's targets from inside the red zone. It's the highest rate in the NFL. So volume-based wide receiver 2, once again, is Garrett Wilson. Cardinals at Steelers up next. This game is very interesting. Arizona, Kyler Murray, still struggling a little bit with the deep passing game. He's only 5 of 15 on passes 20-plus yards since returning 3 weeks ago. But the rushing's been great. He scored a rushing touchdown in every game. Or two of his, in every game since playing, averaging about 4.6 rushing attempts, 30 rushing yards per game. The Steelers' defense has been much better as of late, and all of a sudden they're allowing the 5th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. So Kyler is still like a volatile, low-end quarterback one. James Conner, Arizona fell behind so early last week, so he only had 6 carries. Luckily, he added 4 receptions. I don't love the usage in the passing game since he's returned, though. Right? You look at it, since week 10, he's played just 10% of Arizona snaps on long down and distance situations, and just 33% of their snaps in the 2-minute drill. They just brought in Michael Carter, who they've been using as a third down running back. So that definitely hurts both his floor and his ceiling. This is a revenge game for him, right? And Pittsburgh's allowing the most yards after contact per attempt in the NFL. So Connor, running back 24 on the week for me. Would like to see more snaps on third downs and passing situations, though. It's tough to break down the wide receivers, really the whole passing game right now, because Hollywood Brown continues to deal with a heel issue. Didn't practice a lot last week, still played. Led the team with 12 targets, but he's once again not practicing to start the week. Michael Wilson's going to be out again with the shoulder, so like, if Hollywood plays, it's all of a sudden a bad matchup. You know, to start the season, it was a great matchup because Pittsburgh was getting destroyed by opposing number one wide receivers. But lately, they've asked Joey Porter Jr. to shadow opposing wide receiver ones. And because the Steelers play man coverage at a top 10 rate in the league, and at Penn State, Joey Porter was so good in press man coverage, he's been pretty comfortable with it. Right? Hollywood Brown, boom bust, wide receiver 2, if he plays. He does have a 29% target share against man coverage this season, but he's also 31st in yards per out run against man coverage. So we'll see if he plays. If he's out, Greg Dortch becomes a really, really interesting play. He's been way more involved the last 2 weeks, running around on 81% of dropbacks and seeing a 23% target share. He's still kind of in play if Hollywood is active, though, because Michael Wilson's going to be out again. And finally, at tight end, if Trey McBride plays, he was limited on Thursday, you're starting him. Since week 8, he's run around on 82% of dropbacks with a 29% target share, 27% target per out run rate. Pittsburgh, very interesting. First game without Matt Canada, and they go for over 400 yards of total offense. 424 total yards of offense, to be exact. Pittsburgh's most in a game since the end of the 2018 season. They average over 6 yards per play on first down. Clearly more of an emphasis on throwing the ball to the middle of the field, right? According to FTN data, from weeks 1 to 11, Pickett targeted the middle of the field just 13.5% of the time, tied for the lowest rate among all quarterbacks with at least 100 dropbacks. This past Sunday, new offense, things changed. Pickett targeted the middle of the field on 10 of his 33 attempts, that's 30.3%, the fourth highest rate among all quarterbacks in week 12. I think it was a combination of clearly something they wanted to change, right? We've talked about Matt Canada not throwing in the middle of the field for years. but also the fact that the Bengals, who they played last week, they give up a ton of production to tight ends and a ton of production in the middle of the field because they play a lot of too high safety looks. So do the Cardinals, though. So I think we see a similar situation here. I think Pickett's an okay quarterback, too, if you're desperate this week. Arizona's defense is terrible. Just allowed 4 touchdowns to Stafford last week. They're allowing the highest completion percentage in the NFL, too, at 70.2%. Probably starting both Pittsburgh running backs this week. Last week was the first week all year where Najee Harris outscored Jalen Warren. He played 53% of snaps, handled 48% of the rushing attempts. Warren was at 49% and 42% respectively. So, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's been running the ball really well over the past 4 or 5 weeks. And this is a good matchup. Arizona just got destroyed by Kyren Williams. On the season, they're allowing the second most yards before contact per rush and the second most fantasy points per game to opposing backfield. So I'm starting both Jalen Warren and Harris this week pretty comfortably. At wide receiver, it's been pretty tough for Deontay Johnson lately. Almost had a touchdown last week, but all of a sudden, last 3 weeks, he's averaging just 2.3 catches, 6.6 targets, and 27.6 receiving yards per game. He's been way more productive against man coverage and zone, and Arizona mostly plays zone. His target share against zone is around 22% compared to 37% against man coverage. I think Deontay and George Pickens are both wide receiver threes here. And then Pat Freiermuth, what a game from him. He was the focal point. Again, if Pittsburgh's thrown in the middle of the field, finally, that's going to be good for Freiermuth, who had 120 yards, 9 catches, 35% target share, 44% target per out run rate. He still only ran a route on about 68% of dropbacks, but that's good enough if this offense is funneling more targets to him in the middle of the field. Similar matchup here. Arizona, they play a lot of too high safety looks. They just gave up 2 touchdowns to Tyler Higbee last week, so Freiermuth is back in our lives as a top 8 fantasy tight end. Colts at Titans up next. Gardner Minshew is a middling quarterback too, right? Hasn't been great lately. Mostly been like a low-end quarterback too. But, you know, he came in for Anthony Richardson when these teams last played when Richardson left the game. 11-14 for 155 yards, so he was good. Tennessee, they remain a pass funnel for the most part. They also allow the 8th highest completion rate at 68% and the 5th highest yards per attempt. So I'm fine with Minshew as a streaming quarterback. And then we got the news that Jonathan Taylor is going to miss a couple weeks with a thumb issue. So Zach Moss, I mean, top 10 running back, and that might even be conservative. I mean, there were 3 games this season where Taylor was out and Zach Moss was the lead running back for the Colts. In those games, he played 85% of the snaps, handled 79% of the rushing attempts, played 98% of the snaps in a 2-minute drill, and he averaged 24 touches per game. He had 2 top 10 fantasy finishes in that span, and he ran for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns against Tennessee earlier this season. So Zach Moss must start running back. Michael Pittman must start receiver. 13 targets last week. He now has double-digit targets in 7 games this season. Overall target share of around 30%. And he's been good with Minshew at quarterback, averaging 10.6 targets, 7.5 receptions, 77 receiving yards, and 17 fantasy points per game. Good matchup here against Tennessee. They allow 81.6 receiving yards per game to opposing top wide receivers, the 9th most in the NFL. And I like Josh Downs too. He had 13 targets last week. He's averaging 8 targets per game in the full games he's played alongside Gardner Minshew. So I like that spot for him. And for Tennessee, it's pretty easy. It's Derrick Henry. It's DeAndre Hopkins. Titans, close spread here. They're at home. Should be more of a spot for Henry to get 17 to 20 carries, hopefully, once again. And then DeAndre Hopkins, since Will Levis has been the quarterback, 25% target share. Colts have been a little bit better against wide receivers as of late, but they did just allow 70 yards and a pair of touchdowns to Mike Evans last week. Dolphins at Washington. This game is simple as well. I mean, you're starting all the Dolphins. We did get word that Devon Achane will play this week. I'm definitely hesitant, right? Like, it definitely bumps Mostert down a little bit, and it makes Jeff Wilson somebody that I was a little bit interested in to start the week. You can't play him now. I mean, he played like 5 snaps last week or 2 weeks ago before leaving. I don't see how they give him a full workload. And it's not that he was getting like 20 touches in the first place, but I think they should be cautious with him. Don't expect Raheem Mostert to get 20 touches again, but in this offense, 14-15 we know is enough, especially with his home run ability. And the Commanders, 45.5% of drives against him have ended in points, the highest rate in the NFL. Tua, must start, obviously. And then, my goodness, if you're going up against Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle this week, you might be in trouble. I mean, we know how good Tyreek's been. 100 yards or touchdown in 9 games. 33% target share. Leads the league with a 36% target per out run rate. And then you have Washington. 98 yards per game to opposing number one wide receivers, most in the NFL. 12 touchdown passes of 20-plus air yards, most in the NFL. 4 touchdowns off post routes, second most. 10 touchdowns off go routes, most in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, 18 targets this season off post routes, most in the NFL. Jalen Waddle, 8 targets last week, 114 yards. He's also top 5 in targets off post routes. It's scary. It's going to be really scary here for the secondary. And then for Washington, Sam Howell remains a quarterback one. I mean, didn't throw a touchdown last week, but still finished as a top 12 quarterback because he threw for 300 yards for the 4th straight game. He continues to see just insane volume. Since week 4, when Washington went way more pass-heavy, Howell is averaging 43 passing attempts per game. During that span, the Commanders are first in the NFL in neutral script pass rate at 67.4%, third in early down pass rate at 62%. Washington, underdogs here against Miami. Sam Howell probably throws 40-plus passes once again. I'm definitely worried about Brian Robinson here. I know over the last month he's been pretty good, but last week with Antonio Gibson back in the lineup, Robinson usage took a hit. Remember, in week 11, he set season highs in third down percentage, in 2-minute drill snaps. That went back the other way with Gibson back last week because he went way down in terms of those types of snaps. He played 0 snaps in long down and distance, and 0 in the 2-minute drill. And he had just 2 catches. So, unless Washington keeps this game close, I think Robinson is a middling flex play that you kind of hope scores. At wide receiver, somehow Terry McLaurin, despite all this volume from this Washington passing game, has yet to reach 100 yards in a game this year. 24% target share since week 4 when Washington started throwing the absolute piss out of the ball. He's not seeing a lot of looks in the red zone, which is a problem. Just 6 end zone targets this season. He remains a wide receiver 2 / wide receiver 3. And then Curtis Samuel is a fine play this week. Washington's not only throwing the ball a lot, but lately they're trying to get the ball out of Sam Howell's hands as fast as possible because he's taking so many sacks. And if they're getting the ball out so quickly, that's going to benefit Samuel, who right now has the 8th lowest yards before the catch perception at 5.1. So Miami also vulnerable to the slot, allowing a half a touchdown per game to the slot, second most in football. And Samuel plays in the slot about 73% of the time. And then Logan Thomas remains borderline tight end 1, tight end 2, just running so many routes. And you love the passing volume from this team. Broncos at Texans up next. Russell Wilson continues to play pretty solid, but kind of more in like a game managing type of way, right? 68 checkdown passes is the 4th most in football. 22% of his passing attempts have been behind line of scrimmage, the 2nd highest rate in the league. Since week 5, his average fantasy finish has been quarterback 16, so the floor is solid. He still leads the NFL with a 6.3% passing touchdown rate. He's also giving you about 5 rushing attempts, 25 rushing yards per game. He's a rock-solid quarterback, too, here against Houston. Javonte Williams, still seeing good volume. Usage in the passing game hasn't been quite as good lately, but even though he's not playing a lot of the third downs and losing some of those snaps to Samaje Perine, because Russell Wilson's checking the ball down so much, Javonte's getting targets on early downs, right? Since week 7, he's averaging 21.4 touches per game, handling 66% of the rushing attempts during that span. You know, Houston's run defense has completely transformed this season with D'Amico Ryans. They've been really good. They do allow a lot of rushing touchdowns, though. So I'm still starting Javonte Williams. And Courtland Sutton remains low end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. Clearly the top option in this passing game. His 11 end zone targets are the 8th most in the NFL. Against zone coverage, Sutton has a target share under 20%. And he's 71st among wide receivers in yards per out run against zone. So it's not the greatest spot. But we also just saw Calvin Ridley, Jamar Chase, and Mike Evans have pretty massive games against his secondary. Tough test here for the Houston passing game. The Broncos' pass defense has been red hot since week 5. 6.4 yards per pass attempt allowed. Top 7 in the NFL. They have allowed the 8th fewest fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks. That's despite facing Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in that span. But Stroud, just you can't bench him. The upside has been amazing. He's been amazing. You're starting him. With Damian Pierce back last week, we did see Devin Singletary remain the lead running back for the Texans. He played 81% of snaps. He had 12 touches for over 70 yards. Did most of his damage in the passing game with 6 catches. But he played 100% of snaps in long down and distance, 95% in the 2-minute drill. Damian Pierce only played 19% of the snaps. So, good matchup here for Singletary, assuming he is the lead back once again. Broncos allowing the second most yards before contact per attempt. 13.6% of the runs against Denver have gained 10-plus yards, 4th highest rate in the NFL. And at wide receiver, starting Tank Dell, he's been unbelievable. Really interesting spot for Collins, though. Like, if Tank Dell plays, probably see Surtain on Collins more. Really tough matchup. Collins has held every receiver he's shadowed under 50 receiving yards except for DJ Moore. But at the same time, Denver, second most fantasy points per target allowed off post routes this season at 3.8 with an 80% catch rate. And Collins is 5th in the NFL in post routes this season, or targets off post routes. So, definitely don't like him as much as Tank Dell, assuming Tank Dell plays, but still like him. We have to keep an eye on Dalton Schultz. Hasn't practiced to start the week. He only ran around on 48% of dropbacks, played under 50% of snaps. Hardly saw him in the second half. Now we know why. If he plays, you're starting him. Denver allowing the most fantasy points, most receiving yards to opposing tight ends this season, and a tight end has now scored in 3 straight games against the Broncos. Panthers at Bucks, pretty easy game here. New coaching staff, new system, maybe we'll see from the Panthers, but no, it's really just Adam Thielen. Thielen this season, 35.2% target share against the Blitz, 4th highest rate in the NFL. That's obviously notable facing Todd Bowles and Tampa Bay. They blitz at the 3rd highest rate in football at 37.8%. We also have Tampa Bay allowing the 4th most receptions, 2nd most receiving yards, and 2nd most fantasy points per game to opposing pass catchers from the slot, which is where Thielen lines up about 70% of the time. And for Tampa Bay, Rashad White, must-start running back, top 5 among running backs in snap share this season at 78%. He's been really good lately, top 10 running back in fantasy this year all of a sudden. On average, he's been the running back 11 over the past 6 weeks, and now he faces Carolina's bad run defense. Love the spot for Rashad White. Mike Evans, must-start receiver. Chris Godwin, low ceiling, decent floor, wide receiver 3. And Kate Otten is an okay streaming tight end. Like, you could do a lot worse. He's still running so many routes. He's actually 3rd among all tight ends in routes run this season. So, the matchup's not great, but when you are streaming the tight end position, you're pretty much looking for routes. And he's giving you that, so. All right, game of the year, potentially. San Fran at Philadelphia, rematch of last year's NFC title game. I mean, look, you're starting everybody. You're starting Brock Purdy. You're starting McCaffrey. You're starting Ayuk. You're starting Debo. You're starting Kittle. You're starting Hurts. You're starting Swift. You're starting A.J. Brown. You're starting Devonta Smith. We'll see if Goddard plays. I think he practiced on Friday. It would definitely hurt Smith a little bit if Goddard's back because his splits without Goddard are just way more favorable since last year. 8.3 targets, 17 fantasy points per game, and 7 games without Goddard in the lineup since last year. But, like, again, I have the full article, so if you really want, like, in-depth analysis on these matchups, you can go read it. It's actually, this game's also free to read, by the way. But, like, we've seen this Eagles defense. They're terrible. They just played, like, 95 snaps last week against Buffalo. They're probably a little bit tired. And you're starting everybody on San Fran anyway. I mean, we know Brandon Ayuk against man coverage has been unbelievable. Right, 28% target share, 2.56 fantasy points per target against man coverage, second most in the NFL. Eagles play man at one of the highest rates in the NFL. Like, Ayuk should smash here. I also like Debo, too, because Eagles have been bad against slant routes this season. They've allowed 4 touchdowns off slant routes this year. I know Debo's been way more productive against zone than man, but I don't see how you get away from him here. You're starting Kittle. Jalen Hurts is obviously must start. Like, pretty easy game. Again, the article's free to read at ftnfantasy.com if you want some more, you know, deep analysis on the game, but you know you're starting everybody from that game. Cleveland at the Rams up next. Looks like Joe Flacco is going to start. Dorian Thompson-Robinson still in the concussion protocol the last time I checked. There's not much here. Honestly. Like, Jerome Ford is going to get decent volume. Since week 9, he's played 63% of snaps. He's averaging 17.5 touches per game. He's a high-end running back 3 for me. Amari Cooper's splits without Deshaun Watson have been pretty bad this season. He's averaging, what is it, less than 9 fantasy points per game without Watson. So we'll see if, you know, Joe Flacco starting is better for him. Cooper does have a pretty underwhelming 19.2% target share against zone, and the Rams play zone at the 8th highest rate in football. I think the one player you're definitely starting from Cleveland is David Njoku. Focal point of this passing game all of a sudden. Since week 7, he has a 25% target share. We've actually seen him be more productive with Thompson Robinson at quarterback. He's averaging 9.8 targets per game with him under center. So hopefully Flacco continues to look his way if he starts. Matchup is really good though. Rams allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends on the year. And then for the Rams, like, the only, you can honestly say the only player that's a must-start player from the Rams right now is Kyren Williams. He returned last week and was awesome. 143 yards on 16 carries, caught 6 passes for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. He played 61% of snaps, but before the game got out of hand, he played almost 80% of snaps in the first half. So in a close game, he's going to play that 80 to 85% snap share, get 20 touches, get usage in the passing game. You're starting him. And, like, if we had 0 teams on bye, I think you could legitimately make an argument to bench Cooper Kupp and maybe even Puka. They've just been so bad. Cooper Kupp hasn't had 50 yards in a game in 5 straight. I don't know if he's 100% healthy. There's been a couple instances where we've seen him kind of limp off the field with the ankle. The Rams aren't throwing the ball a ton. Bad matchup against Cleveland. Like, Kupp and Puka are both kind of low-end wide receiver 2s. Where, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were consensus top 12 receivers. Very strange what's going on here. And I'm not chasing Tyler Higbee's game. Scored twice last week. Still only had 5 targets. And in the games where Kupp and Puka have played, he still only has a 12% target share. And Cleveland's been the best team in football this season against tight ends. So I'm not chasing that game from last week. Kansas City at Green Bay. Patrick Mahomes still hasn't had the insane upside on a weekly basis that we've grown accustomed to seeing. He's been a quarterback 1 last week. It was the first time he was a QB 1 in fantasy since week 8. Still starting him, though. Isaiah Pacheco is a mid-range, solid running back 2. 2 touchdowns last week. Since week 4, he's averaging 18.3 touches and 15 fantasy points per game. It's also worth noting that with Jerick McKinnon out last week, we did see Pacheco play a season-high 79% of snaps and a season-high 22% of snaps on long down and distances. Green Bay's run defense, they are vulnerable, allowing the 6th most yards after contact per attempt, and 105 rushing yards per game to opposing running backs, 7th most in the NFL. Finally, we saw Kansas City expand Rashee Rice's role last week. He ran a route on a career-high 68% of dropbacks, caught 8 of 10 targets for 107 yards and a touchdown. Like, 25% target per out run rate on the season. Just let him run routes. He's your best receiver. It's not even close. Kansas City dialed up kind of scheme touches for him last week. He had 10 targets, 3 of them came off screens. Yes, Tony was out. Yes, Hardman was out, but I'd hope this continues. And if it does, he's probably going to be a top 24 receiver weekly. Like, if he's running 70% of the routes, he's a borderline must-start receiver. And then obviously starting Travis Kelce. For Green Bay, Jordan Love playing really good football right now. Was great on Thanksgiving. 3 straight games and multiple touchdown passes. And over the last 4 weeks, Jordan Love, 4th in passing yards, 3rd in touchdown passes, 5th in yards per attempt, and 7th in fantasy points per dropback. Tough test for him here against Kansas City. Jordan Love, 53.5% completion rate against man coverage, only a 59.6% completion rate against the blitz. So that's kind of important when you're facing Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs. So I have Love as a high-end quarterback 2, low-end quarterback 1, given how he's played, but this is not an easy matchup for him. Doubt we see Aaron Jones play this week, which means we'll once again see A.J. Dillon as the lead running back for the Packers. Last week, he played 52% of the snaps, handled 67% of the rushing attempts, and had 17 touches. Once again, very underwhelming, and he's been underwhelming. 4 starts a season, averaging 16 touches, under 65 total yards, and 8.8 PPR points per game. Like, really bad stuff. No explosiveness. 4.6% explosive run rate this year. So, like, don't expect him to get 90 to 100 total yards. But a week with 6 teams on bye, running back is always kind of a tough position to start with. The volume should be there. And the Chiefs are allowing 4.6 yards per carry on the season. The wide receivers, pretty interesting here. Christian Watson's been really good the last 2 weeks. I don't like Christian Watson at all in this spot. Like, Kansas City has just been so good against opposing top wide receivers. 48.8 yards per game to opposing lead wideouts, the fewest in the league. We've seen Legarius Sneed shadow and be really good this season. Christian Watson against man coverage, 18.6% target share. But he's also 3rd among wide receivers on the Packers with just a 13% target share against the blitz. And the Chiefs blitz 34.4% of the time, 6th highest rate in the NFL. Really, really worried about Watson here. Love Jaden Reed, though, if he plays. Dealing with a rib issue, hasn't practiced. If he can play, I really like him here. He leads a team with a 19.6% target share against the blitz and a solid 22% target share against man coverage. He continues to see the scheme touches from this team. He's been in motion pre-snap about 15% of the time. And the slot is where you want to attack Kansas City. Chiefs allowing the 7th most receptions, 4th most targets, and 9th most fantasy points per game to opposing pass catchers lined up in the slot, which is where Jaden Reed has played 78% of the time this season. So keep an eye on him. Romeo Doubs, kind of a touchdown dependent wide receiver 3 if he plays, but really, really like Jaden Reed in the spot if he's good to go. Final game of the week, Monday Night Football, Bengals at Jacksonville. I mean, you're pretty much just tempering expectations from everybody on the Bengals. Joe Mixon was awful last week. And, like, the problem is, with Mixon, you've always been relying on volume and touchdown opportunities. The touchdown opportunities seem to be going away with Jake Browning at quarterback and Joe Burrow out. The only thing that can really help him here is volume in the passing game. Jacksonville's allowing the most receptions at 7.2 and most targets at 8.7, as well as the 2nd most receiving yards at 49.5 per game to opposing running backs. Mixon, low-end running back 2. You hope he somehow scores or has 5-6 catches. Ja'Marr Chase, boom bust wide receiver 2. He had a 25% target share with Browning last week, but T. Higgins might play. If Higgins plays, boom bust wide receiver 3, just given the fact that this offense is just not the same. And for Jacksonville, I'm kind of starting everybody. Trevor Lawrence has been much better the last 2 weeks, quarterback 1 and quarterback 7 in fantasy. Bengals allowing the most yards per play at 6.2. Ton of explosive plays too. 12.7 yards per completion and 10-yard ADOT, both the most in football. So I like Lawrence. Travis Etienne also dealing with an issue with his ribs. Limited in practice. I think he plays, but I do think the Bengals, or the Jags rather, limit his usage here a little bit. Maybe we see a little bit more snaps from D'Ernest Johnson. Still, matchup is really good. 14.7% of the runs against the Bengals have gained 10-plus yards. Highest rate in the NFL. Cincinnati also allowing 2.4 yards before contact per attempt, easily the highest rate in football. So starting Etienne, but I wouldn't expect like 20 touches. I think he's kind of more in like 15 to 17, at least in this game. At wide receiver, back-to-back good games from Calvin Ridley. Must be Zay Jones playing. Like, obviously, he's had his best games with Zay Jones active. I think it's just simply the fact that Jacksonville's finally moving him around the formation a little bit more. He's still mostly playing outside, but it's not... Like, Calvin Ridley, for so much of the season, was literally playing as far outside as possible, like right next to the sideline. And he was relying on back shoulder throws and winning against press man coverage, which he had struggled to do this season. The last couple weeks, though, we're seeing him in more condensed splits, closer to the closer to the middle of the field, giving him more room, more versatility to run routes. And it's really made a difference. Love the spot here. I still think he's kind of a boom-bust wide receiver too, just because he hasn't had elite target share production. But the Bengals, 10 yards per target to opposing wide receivers on the outside. Only the Commanders have allowed more yards on passes of 20-plus air yards. And he's getting a lot of looks in the end zone. Calvin Ridley has 46.7% of Jacksonville's targets from inside the 10-yard line. That's the highest rate in the NFL. Christian Kirk remains a high-floor wide receiver 3, borderline wide receiver 2. And then this has to be the week where Evan Ingram scores, right? 82 targets this season, 0 touchdowns. Such a good matchup, though. Cincinnati allows the second most receiving yards per game to tight ends at 70.5 and 15.4 fantasy points per game to tight ends. That's also the second most in the league. The middle of the field is where this team really struggles. Still, this has to be the week. I'm starting him. The floor has been great every single week, but can we please get a touchdown? I think this is the week where he finds the end zone. So that'll do it for me for week number 13 in the NFL. Again, fantasy playoffs are a couple weeks away, so hopefully you get that huge, you know, must-have win in all of your matchups this week. Make a push for the playoffs, and we'll help you along the way in the playoffs for the fantasy season. Check out FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets for all the amazing content. Cannot say enough about all the great stuff, especially daily too lately. Basketball has been great. Just such a happy place to, so happy to be able to work at FTN with everybody that I work with. Content's been great. And of course, you can read the read option, pair it with the podcast every single week at FTN Fantasy live. Couple games free to read each week, but again, if you pair it with this podcast, you should be well prepared for the week ahead. Best of luck in week 13. Have a great weekend. Go win all of your matchups. And the Bills can't lose this week because they're off. So great to have that. Best of luck, though, in week 13 for the FTN Datacast. I'm Adam Pfeiffer. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Datacast with Adam Pfeiffer. Be sure to follow your host on Twitter at apfeiffer24. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on the FTN Datacast, where data drives the discussion.